No doubt, many of you have seen on the news over the past week much coverage given to the new Health and Human Services directive that was directed specifically against the Catholic Church. Last week, in fact, most of the bishops throughout the country had a very similar letter read at all the churches throughout the country. Archbishop Naumann was actually in the Holy Land last weekend and returned this week, and he has also written a letter that he has asked all the priests to read today. And so this letter is addressed to all of you from our bishop. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, I write to you concerning an alarming and serious matter that negatively impacts the church in the United States directly and that strikes at the fundamental right to religious liberty for all citizens of any faith. The federal government, which claims to be of, by, and for the people, has just dealt a heavy blow to almost a quarter of those people, the Catholic population, and to the millions more who are served by the Catholic faithful. The U.S. Department of Health and Human Services announced on January 20th that almost all employers, including Catholic employers, will be forced to offer their employees health coverage that includes sterilization, abortion-inducing drugs, and contraception. Almost all health insurers will be forced to include those services in their health policies, they write, and almost all individuals will be forced to buy that coverage as a part of their policies. In so ruling, the administration has cast aside the First Amendment to the Constitution of the United States, denying to Catholics our nation's first and most fundamental freedom, that of religious liberty. And as a result, unless the rule is overturned, we Catholics will be compelled to either violate our consciences or to drop health coverage for our employees and suffer the penalties for doing so. The administration's sole concession was to give our institutions 1 year to comply. We cannot, we will not comply with this unjust law. People of faith cannot be made second-class citizens. We are already joined by our brothers and sisters of all faiths and many others of goodwill in this important effort to regain our religious freedom. Our parents and grandparents did not come to these shores to help build up America's cities and towns, its infrastructure and institutions, its enterprise and culture, only to have their posterity stripped of their God-given rights. In generations past, the church has always been able to count on the faithful to stand up and protect her sacred rights and duties. I hope and trust that she can count on this generation of Catholics to do the same. Our children and grandchildren deserve nothing less. And therefore, I would ask of you two things. First, as a community of faith, we must commit ourselves to prayer and fasting that wisdom and justice may prevail and religious liberty may be restored. Without God, we can do nothing. With God, nothing is impossible. Second, I would also recommend visiting the U.S. Bishop's website to learn more about this severe assault on religious liberty and how to contact Congress in support of legislation that would reverse the administration's decision. Sincerely yours in Jesus, the Lord of life, Archbishop Joseph F. Naumann, Archdiocese of Kansas City, in Kansas. With his letter, Archbishop joins, I think the count is now up to around 150 of basically 180 bishops in our country. Rightly, our bishops and all of us as Catholics were taken aback and quite frankly a little surprised at this direct assault on our religious liberty. It's not enough that these evils exist in our society, but now the government wants to compel us as religious people to actually pay to support these evils. And of course, we will not. You know, it's somewhat of a coincidence, but on the day that this new law was enacted, I was actually in Washington, D.C. I was there for the March for Life with the students from Bishop Miege High School, and I spent that day going to see some of the sites, and one of the places that I went was the National Archives. There are on display the original copies of the Declaration of Independence, the Constitution, and the Bill of Rights. I learned there, as I read the history of these documents, that the Constitution itself was actually almost not approved by the states. Our founding fathers were very aware of the tyranny they experienced under the unjust ruler, King George of England. And having won their freedom with the Declaration of Independence, they very much feared that by establishing some new government, that they would perhaps just substitute one form of tyranny for another. So they demanded that if they were going to approve the Constitution, there must be a Bill of Rights that specifically outlines the rights that are reserved by the people. They were very much afraid that if they did not spell out these rights, that the government would one day try to take these rights. And of course, in the First Amendment, in the Bill of Rights, we find that Congress, that the government must respect religious liberty, that we are to have free exercise of religion. Now, we might look at that and think that that was put in there because of some pious religious sentiment on behalf of the founding fathers. But that's really not true. While they were, in fact, all men that belonged to churches and practiced their faith, the reason that they put religious freedom into the Bill of Rights was primarily to protect our country. You see, these were, yes, religious people, but they were primarily statesmen, congressmen, politicians. And they knew that ultimately what they experienced in England was that the king tried to say he was God, that he was the supreme authority, and that he could take and give rights as he saw fit. It's for that reason that Thomas Jefferson wrote in the Declaration of Independence that our rights don't come from the state. Rather, we are endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights, life, liberty, the pursuit of happiness. These don't come from the state. They come from God. So religious liberty, our founding fathers thought, was so important because if God was not protected, then the state would seek to make themselves God and take away the rights of the people. Many are not aware that the words "under God" that we're so familiar with in the Pledge of Allegiance were not originally there. In fact, these words were not added until the 1950s, largely through the work of the Knights of Columbus of the Catholic Church. It was 1950s that they were added because it was then that we were confronted face to face with communism, and we could see what it looked like to have a secular, atheistic society in which the government was supreme and God was outlawed. They did not want to repeat this kind of tyranny, and so "under God" was added to our Pledge of Allegiance, not so much out of religious sentiment, but to acknowledge that if we would not be a nation under God, we could only end up being a nation under tyranny. To protect religious liberty is ultimately to protect our freedoms, to be who we are. While this is a tragic kind of attack, really, on our faith, I do think that there are two things that can bring good, that good can come out of this. God always works that way. And so I would just offer two kind of positive things that might come out of this. First, while this is fundamentally an attack on religious liberty for Catholics and all people, I don't think it's surprising that the subject of the attack is to try to force us to support and pay for contraception, sterilization, and abortion-causing drugs. I think in many ways, perhaps, the government thought they could get away with attacking us here because in many ways, perhaps they think we're vulnerable. The studies, statistics show us that sadly, a large number of our Catholic faithful and faithful throughout the world are stuck in these exact sins: contraception, abortion, drugs, sterilization. We struggle with these issues, even as people of faith, and many are slaves to this sin. I think that's an important call to all of us then, that while yes, we need to defend against this unjust law, we also need to get our own house in order. Hopefully one of the goods that can come out of this is that all of us, as Catholics especially, will see just how important and serious these issues are. We are saying that we would rather close our schools, our hospitals, that we would rather see our priests and bishops in jail rather than have to support and finance contraception, abortion, sterilization. We won't do it. We've got to ultimately say as people of faith that these are serious issues. If you want to find something that you can give up for Lent this year, think about giving up contraception. Put the money in your rice bowl. Send it to some poor, starving people and enroll in a natural family planning class. And then we can be free and we don't have to be enslaved and ashamed and vulnerable to attack in these areas. So I hope that that could be one good that would come out of this, that we would take seriously putting our own house in order and ridding those sins from our lives. But secondly, the second good, I think, and I already see this happening, is that we might experience a greater unity as Catholics and all people of faith. It's very interesting that the word for the devil in Scripture, diabolos in Greek, it literally means to cut in half, to divide. The devil is the one who sows division. No doubt, again, perhaps the government thought we would be weak here. The Catholics seems so divided on these issues. Maybe we're vulnerable to attack. But already the opposite is starting to happen. People of faith are coming together. All Catholics, even those of us who would be perhaps on very different political spectrums, rightfully say this is not a political issue. This is an attack on the fundamentals of religious freedom in this country, and we will stand together. And notice, I can't even remember in my lifetime it happening that basically all of our Catholic bishops wrote the same letter and had it read in all the churches in America. We are perhaps more united now than ever. And ironically, it's not just amongst Catholics. Our Christian brothers and sisters and even non-Christians are coming to our defense. I was watching the news the other day and was amazed to see something I'd never thought I'd see. That there was actually a Jewish person on there who they were interviewing, and he said, and I quote, "If they can do this to the Catholics in broad daylight in an election year, what is to stop the government from doing anything it wants? If the Catholics fall, we all fall." How interesting, almost, to see that a greater unity amongst Christians, Jews, those of all faiths, is coming about because of this. Rather than dividing, ironically, this attack is unifying us. It is making us stand together. And when we do that, we realize that we are strong. We don't have to be pushed around anymore. You know, there's kind of an analogy that they say that, and I'm not saying we should try this at home, but they say if you take a frog and you want to cook it and you throw it into boiling water, the frog will jump out because it knows it's about to be cooked. But rather, if you put the frog in water and gradually just turn up the heat little by little, the frog gets lazy and tired and eventually he's cooked and he didn't even know it. In many ways, I think the Catholic Church, people of faith in general, we've been having the heat turned up on us for a long time now on a lot of issues, and we've been compromising. They tell us we can't pray in public. We say, okay, and well, you're not going to pray in school, and you can't put out your religious symbols and signs at Christmas or other holidays. In fact, we're not even going to call those holidays anymore. And we say, okay. And we kind of surrender, and the heat gets turned up and up until eventually they're telling us now that essentially you can be Catholic, but you don't have freedom of religion. Freedom of worship is all we'll grant you. You can be Catholic in this building, and when you leave this building, you are no longer allowed to bring your faith into the world. The heat has been turned up too far, and it's time for us now to jump out of the pot and say with all the other Christians in our country that enough is enough. We will not stand for this anymore. We're not going to get pushed around anymore. You know, I'd love to give a happy scout homily. It's Scout Sunday and I love the scouts, and to some extent it makes me sad that we have to talk about this today on Scout Sunday. But one of the things that makes me proud to be a scout is that Boy Scouts got our fill of this too. We were getting pushed around. In fact, it came to a head when the government tried to tell us that we had to change our scout oath, that we demand that at every meeting the scouts raise our sign and we say that on my honor, I will do my best to do my duty to God and my country, and to obey the Scout Law, to help other people at all times, to keep myself physically strong, mentally awake, and morally straight. Well, some people didn't like that. They said, you can't force people in Boy Scouts to believe in God. We said, that's fundamentally who we are. Belief in God is at the core of what it means to be a Boy Scout. We're not just some camping club. The government said, you got to get rid of this. We said, we'll see you in court. And the Boy Scouts went and we fought. And we're able to say that oath at the beginning of our meeting every day because we jumped out of the pot and the Boy Scouts said, you're not going to push us around. It's time for the Catholic Church, Christians in this country, to do the same. As I saw those Declaration of Independence, the Constitution, Catholics signed those. Famous Catholics, Charles Carroll, who put Charles Carroll of Carrollton, because he wanted everybody to know that it was him, signed that. He was a Catholic, the relative of John Carroll, the first bishop of the United States. And another Carroll signed the Constitution. We've been there from the beginning. Catholics have made this country great, and we're not going to surrender now. We're not going to close our schools, we're not going to close our hospitals, and we're not going to bend to pressure to say that we have to fund things that are evil. We will not surrender here. Catholics will stand up and fight. If we do that, we are united with our bishop, with Catholics everywhere. We've made this country great. It's time for us to stand up and ensure that this country will be great in the future as we preserve religious liberty for those that are Catholic, for all those in our country. May God bless us in this very important moment.